Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for stopping by. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can stick around for the entire show. I can do all things in Him who gives me strength. Great Bible verse, isn't it? Philippians 4:13. Well, I want to talk about that. What did St. Paul mean when he used those words, I can do all things? Does that mean that I can do anything that I want to do? Well, not necessarily, but I want you to remember something. This is an incredibly comforting verse because it might not mean that you can do anything that you want to do, but you can do anything that God wants you to do. And that is critical. It's a critical distinction. So we'll discuss that on the show today. Again, I really appreciate you stopping by on the program today, and we will get into that verse in a little more detail. Today is May the 27th. My name is Gary Zimak, and this is Following the Truth. And I hope you got a chance to listen to the Sunrise Morning Show. I was on there earlier today talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, something that we talked about on the program a few days ago. I didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. That was the statement that was given to St. Paul when he encountered some disciples who were baptized, but not baptized with the Holy Spirit. They weren't given a sacramental baptism. They didn't even hear that about the Holy Spirit. So as we approach Pentecost, we want to make sure that we are aware of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do. And I'll make sure that I talk more about that later in the week. But I thought today I really want to touch on this verse from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're going to do more than just the verse. But I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Right now, let's focus on the fact that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, we are in the presence of Jesus, and we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Really important fact to remember as we begin our prayers. Let's just try to picture them being with us, and we turn to our Father in heaven in prayer, and I'm going to lead. Hope you can just join me as we start in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. Thank you for sustaining our lives. Thank you for all that you do to provide for us. Thank you for the reminder of your presence. Wherever we look, we see the trees, we see the grass, we see the flowers, we see birds. These are reminders, Father, of your love for us. Jesus told us to look at the birds, to look at the flowers, to look at the grass, and remember that you provide for us. That is so easy to forget sometimes. Help us always to be aware of your providential care for us. And Father, please continue to provide for all of our needs. And we recognize that sometimes that means a cross. Sometimes that means something that's pleasant. You know what's best for us. Sometimes you lead us right into the storm. Father, you know what's best. We give you permission to continue to lead us wherever we need to go. We just will follow your Son, Jesus. And wherever he wants to send us, as long as he is with us, we are more than willing to go with him. Just give us the grace to deal with whatever comes our way. Father, we pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for anyone who is suffering in any way from the virus, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. We pray for their complete healing. We pray for the guidance for all of our leaders, our president, our governors, state and civic leaders, that they may enact laws, make decisions that spare lives, and restore the economy, and also to uphold your laws, Father. I pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a brand new outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now, so that I can speak your message. And I pray for all of us listening, so that we can be open to hearing and to responding to whatever it is that you have to say, using me as your instrument today, Father. And for all these things, I ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. Thank you so much for praying with me. I just love praying with you. I really appreciate the fact that we're able to get on this on the air and pray together. If you have not let your friends know about this program, Following the Truth, I would really appreciate it if you would do so. As you know, if you're listening to it, you've already figured out how to listen to it, but you may not know that it's available in all of your traditional podcast, through all of your traditional podcast services. however you want to listen to it, that is fine with me. It's free of charge no matter what you do. Let your friends know about Following the Truth. Also, if you have not yet signed up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, my daily email devotional, please do so by going to followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to do that. All right. So I said I'm going to talk about this passage. It's a Bible passage from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is what is known, this letter to the Philippians, it's known as one of the captivity epistles, meaning that Paul was imprisoned when he wrote this. So he wasn't exactly laying on the beach somewhere. You know what I'm saying? He was having a tough time. And it's very, very interesting, very insightful that he mentions joy and rejoicing so many times. For somebody who's in prison, that is kind of amazing, isn't it? Kind of amazing that he is able to do that. Now, what I'm going to do today is, but it shows the power of relationship with Jesus Christ. What I'm going to do is begin Philippians 4, verse 10. So it's Philippians 4, 10, if you want to look at it later. And he is acknowledging the gifts of the Philippians who were taking care of Paul, trying to help support him. And he says some really interesting things. Beginning in verse 10, Philippians 4, 10, he leads up to the point where he says, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And I want to kind of lead into this, and let's talk a little bit about it, and really put it into its proper context. Because this is a verse that can be misinterpreted, and sometimes is. We want to be careful that we don't use it just to indicate that I can do whatever I want, and if I just say I'm doing it in the Lord's name or with his strength, I'm going to be successful. Not true. There are some things that I will absolutely fail at. And generally, it's things that God doesn't want me to do. He doesn't want me to go on tour as a singer. Oh, man, that would be interesting. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want me to be a professional athlete. He's calling me to do certain things. I'm able to do this show. A lot of people have told me, I can't believe that you do the show. You come up with a different topic every day. I wouldn't know where to start. Well, this is something that I feel the Lord's calling me to do. It's not that difficult for me. It's not that difficult for me to write. But for some people, it might be. Now, there are things that are really tough for me to do. That's because God's not calling me to do those things. So that's really what this verse means. But let's back up a little. We'll start at Philippians 4:10 and listen to what St. Paul has to say, because he makes some really good points here. Paul says this, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Again, there's that rejoicing theme. A reminder that joy is a choice. No, it isn't. It's a feeling. Joy is a choice. When we rejoice, that is a conscious decision. That's important to remember, because it is possible, as Paul teaches us, to rejoice even when your external circumstances aren't exactly ideal. See, this is where we sometimes get ourselves into trouble, when we think the only way that I can rejoice is because when things go great in my life. And then we're miserable. Because nobody is going to have everything go perfectly for them in life. It's not going to happen. So joy is a choice. Joy is a choice, and it's based upon or rooted in our relationship with the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Joy is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, little Pentecost reference there, if we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to experience that joy. But it's a choice. There are things we can do to be able to live joyfully. There are things we have some control. And it doesn't depend on the externals. So Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And now Paul says in verse 11, not that I complain of want. And this is a really important statement that he's going to make here. And I want you to really listen to this. Paul's saying, I do not complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now there's something for you. One of the best ways that you can experience joy in life is to learn contentment. How do you learn contentment? Contentment is being pleased with what you have, not always wanting for more. And this is not something that comes easy to me. Some people do this very easily. This is not something that comes easily to me, but rather something that I've had to learn, I've had to work at. I've had to work on being grateful and appreciating the gifts that the Lord has given me. You know, this is pretty interesting. Now, I'm a city boy. I grew up in Philly, Philadelphia. I am not a country boy. I'm just not. But I am learning to appreciate nature. I mean, it's amazing. At this point in my life, I'm starting to learn to appreciate nature. And it's really come about through my relationship with God. Through my relationship with God. And a lot of this I can attribute to this quarantine that we're in right now because I have a lot more time. And we have some wooded areas around us. We've got this bird that comes every day. I found out today from my brother-in-law that this bird is a Carolina wren. I had no idea. It's amazing. I hear this bird. This bird's getting on my wife Eileen's nerves because this bird is singing constantly. But I think it's kind of cool. And I'm learning to appreciate nature. I'm appreciating the trees. I'm appreciating the grass, the birds. So anyway, my brother-in-law, I took this YouTube video today of the bird. I can't even see the bird, but I heard it. And I just did a YouTube recording so he could hear the call. He writes back and says, oh, yeah, that's a Carolina wren. Amazing how he knew this. So we're thinking, my daughter Elizabeth and I were talking, we're thinking of maybe getting a bird feeder and trying to watch some birds and really appreciate God's beauty in creation. Again, this is all new for me. This is not something I didn't appreciate for most of my life. But as I'm growing in a relationship with the Lord, I'm appreciating nature a little bit more. Learning to be content. Right now, I'm limited. I am very happy that for the past 2 days, my family and I have been able to attend daily Mass once again. Wow. You have no idea what a thrill that is for us. You probably do have an idea what a thrill it is. My parish is having an outdoor Mass in the parking lot. They're doing a really nice job. We all sit in our cars. They have a great sound system. We receive communion at the end of Mass. It's just incredibly beautiful. But it's not the way it used to be. It's a little more inconvenient. It's odd to go up to receive communion, to drive up to the minister or the priest and have do it with a mask on and then have them place the host in your hand and take the mask off and administer communion to yourself. It is odd. It's different. It's not the way that I would choose, but I'm so grateful to be able to receive Jesus. See, this gratitude, finding gratitude, being grateful for what you have, even if it's not perfect. That's contentment. But with me, somebody like me who is not a naturally grateful person, and I'm not going to kid you, that doesn't seem to be the way I'm wired. I'm always the type who has always wanted more. Oh, if only it would be sunny out today, I'll be happy. Or if only I had more money in the bank. Or if only I had a better job. Or, you know, one thing after another. But I have learned, just like St. Paul said, to be grateful, to be content. And note that St. Paul said the same thing that I just said. He has learned to be content. It's not natural to him necessarily. It's not just a grace that was given to him. He has learned to be content. That means he had to work at it. And you can work at it. And it's really the first step to happiness, to be able to be content. Whatever state I am. And Paul goes on in verse 12 to say, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. So there's been times when he's had a lot. There's been times when he had a little. There's been times when he had many needs. There's times when he was hungry. There was times when he had an abundance of food or material things, whatever it may be. But he's learned in each of those situations to be happy. And you know, one of the things that I would like to recommend, something I do, and I think I've mentioned this on the program before, is every morning when you wake up, tell God what you're grateful for. I wake up in the morning, and again, this is something that I had to learn to do. I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Father, good morning, Jesus, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me a new day. Without fail, those are the first words out of my mouth. And then I'll flip the calendar over. We have a calendar in our living room. I'll thank the Lord for the new day. Sometimes I'll open the front door. I'll look outside at the little wooded area across from our house. I'll hear the birds chirping. I'll ask for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many of the things that I pray in the opening prayer for this program, it's some of the first things I say. I'll thank the Lord for the roof over our head. I'll thank Him for my family. I'll thank Him for hot and cold running water, for indoor plumbing, for food, for money in the bank, for cars, you name it. There are so many things to be thankful for. Thankful for being alive, for being born in the first place, for still being alive, for not being sick, for being able to walk, see. You know, if you start going through the list, you'll begin to realize how many things the Lord has blessed you with. And this is what Paul is talking about. That is how you learn to be content. And in this case right now, we're restricted due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our freedom is somewhat restricted. I can't do what I did 6 months ago, or 3 months ago even. I can't freely go to the shopping mall because it's closed. Things are a little bit better in the supermarket. The supplies are more plentiful than they were 2 months ago when this whole thing first started, but there are still some things in short supply. I have to wear a mask when I go into a store. These are things I am not comfortable with. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't choose this, but it's all part of learning to be content. And yesterday, my daughter and I went into the supermarket for the first time in a long time, and I was really grateful that we had the opportunity to do that. And even if we did had to wear masks, even if it was uncomfortable, even if we were forced to keep our distance, to maintain social distancing, I was really happy to be there. And that's something that comes about, that's something we can teach ourselves, that's something we could learn as St. Paul did. And it's an important thing to try to learn. It really is the secret to finding joy and happiness in life. If you can be content, learn to be content no matter what, you're going to be in great shape. And then Paul in Philippians 4:13 states, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. So Paul is saying right there that this is not me. This is not me who is enduring this suffering. This is the Lord who is strengthening me. He's strengthening me to be able to put up and to be joyful and to be content no matter what my circumstances. And I'm going to throw that out there to you, too, to challenge you a little bit. With the Lord, you can endure whatever it is that He asks you to face. Whether it's a bad medical diagnosis, you know, people every day are being diagnosed with medical conditions. I have known several people who, as they got up in years, they no longer could walk. And that wasn't going to change. Once that happened, that was it for the rest of their lives. And yet, a couple people come to mind who really maintained this incredible, cheerful, and positive outlook, even though they knew they would never get up out of that wheelchair. That's admirable. That happens when you depend on the Lord for strength. If He brings you to it, He will bring you through it. That's an old adage, but it's very true. If the Lord's going to ask you to do something tough, and He will in life. There's going to be times, this was yesterday's theme, wasn't it? Sometimes doing God's will is not fun. If that is the case, if He takes you into the storm, if He asks you to suffer, He will give you what you need to sustain you. But don't forget, you've got to ask. You've got to do what Jesus did in the garden on the night before He died. And get on your knees and pray to your Heavenly Father for the grace to continue going forward. And that's what happened. That's what Jesus received. Luke tells us He got an angel to comfort Him. So when you pray for relief, for the ability to carry your cross, whatever it may be, the Lord's going to come through. He might not take it away. And that's another thing Paul had to come to grips with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked the Lord to take it away. The Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. All you need is my grace. Then Paul was able to finally realize, when I am weak, and I realize I can't do this, and I turn to God, and He gives me the grace, then I am strong. And I think that's the reminder for each of us. By ourselves, we are weak. That's okay. You're not asked to live life by yourself. You're asked to turn to God and receive His grace, receive the grace that you need. Okay, so verse 14 of chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul states, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only." So he's being very grateful for the church at Philippi because they supported him financially. They supported his needs. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent me help once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your credit." It's kind of interesting what he's saying here. Because remember, Paul said he's content. He's learned to be content in all circumstances. So he doesn't have a lot of money. He has learned to be content. But he's thanking the Philippians for supporting him, not because of the gift, but because, what did he say? "The fruit which increases to your credit." He's happy that because of their generosity, they will be rewarded by God ultimately. And that's what Paul is happy for, because in giving, there's always a reward. As the old saying goes, God will not be outdone in generosity. Paul's happy because the Philippians, in their generosity, will be rewarded, not necessarily monetarily, but they'll be rewarded by God. And that makes them happy. "I have received full payment and more. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." And then Paul states, he sums up this portion of, and this is toward the very end of the letter, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Essentially, he's saying to the people, don't worry, in giving, you will also be blessed by the Lord. And you know, that's tough. That's a tough lesson, especially when you're a little short on cash, when you're a little short on resources, or when you're a lot short. It's not easy to give to charities, but we got to do it. I'm not saying be irresponsible. You have to be practical. If you have bills to meet, you're not supposed to give away your rent money, your mortgage money, your food money, but you are supposed to give. And that's going to be between you and God. That's where the Holy Spirit can help you to know how much to give to charities. Right now, churches are hurting. Food banks are hurting. People are out of work. I mean, people are hurting. This is not the time to cut back on your generosity. So make sure you pray about that and continue to give to your church. We switched over our giving to electronic giving with the parish because we're no longer able to attend Sunday Mass. So please do whatever you need to do. Support your churches. Support your charities. Just please understand that God will reward you. He sees you. He will take care of your needs if you trust him. And sometimes that means stretching yourself a little bit. Is there anything you can do without in order to help those who are needy? All right, so that's the bulk of what I wanted to talk about today, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Paul's essentially saying, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Whether I have a little or whether I have a lot, if I depend on God, I can learn to be content. He will change my disposition. That is true. He can change your disposition to be more accepting of your circumstance. I've learned that. You know, there have been times when I've complained. I wish I had more. I wish I had more money so I could get takeout more. I could go out to eat more. But the Lord has changed me. Not that I don't wish I could still do those things at times because I'm a material creature. I enjoy material pleasures, as do we all. But we can pray for the grace to care less about material things. And when you do that, look, you care more or less about material things, you can use some of that money that you would have spent on yourself and give it to people who are starving. That is a process that doesn't happen instantly. That happens through prayer. You can ask God to change your desires. And if you struggle with that, ask for some help there. Okay, as we close this out, I just got a couple minutes here. I want to back up to Philippians 4:8 because Paul gives us another reminder of something we have to do. If you are struggling to be content, if you're struggling in your current situation, you're stuck in the house, you can't stand it anymore, you may be struggling financially, maybe your business is hurting right now, I want you to take Paul's advice here. This is Philippians 4, verse 8. And he says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So in other words, what Paul is saying is control your thoughts. Don't let your mind wander. Right now, if you're in lockdown, you don't want to get yourself upset about all the things that have been taken away from you. Yeah, you can look forward and long for the day you can do those things again, but don't look at them so much so and dwell on them. Dwell on all the things you can't do, so much so you're missing what God's given you. He's given you this day, and he expects you to find some sense of peace this day with his help. So if we spend too much time, and I'm guilty of this. I struggle with this. This is not easy for me. If we spend too much time dwelling on the past and wanting things to be exactly the way they were, then we'll be like the Israelites as they wandered in the desert, wishing they could go back to Egypt and be slaves because they had better food there. But yet they were moving through that desert to freedom with the help of God. Let's not make that mistake. Let's control our thoughts, which we can do. Sometimes it requires work, but we can control our thoughts and focus on what the Lord has given us this day. And again, we're going to mention the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help us, can direct our thoughts. We can give the Spirit control of our thoughts so that we can appreciate what God has given us. We might not think of these things. Ask the Spirit. Spirit, help me to be grateful, to think of things that God has given me as a gift. And look, I'm looking at birds now. I never expected that, but I'm grateful for my bird buddy that sings to me every day. Hey, listen, we are out of time now. I want to thank you for listening to the program. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're able to think about sending a donation my way, I would appreciate that as well. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. You can do that securely by just doing that. All right, God willing, I'm going to be seeing you tomorrow on Following the Truth. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.